1 John chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. John is writing. He said, "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard." He's talking about Jesus, of course. "That which we have seen and heard," Jesus, "declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I don't know how much time you got tonight, but he said he's writing these things to us that he had heard from Jesus. You know, John walked with Jesus in the flesh, heard him speak, heard him teach. Wouldn't that be an amazing experience? But the thing about it is, Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go away." He said, "I'll send you a comforter. And he'll basically take my place in teaching you and comforting you and doing all that I did when I was." Because he said, "I'll send you another comforter." And the Greek actually says another just like me. So to look back and say, "Oh, it's been wonderful to be here with Jesus," he sent someone in his place, and we can still have this kind of experience where we're sharing the things of God together with God. And that's what the word fellowship means. If you look it up, it means to share together in common or to share mutually. And so he said, "We share these things with you that you can have fellowship with us, just like we have fellowship with him over these truths, over these great precious things that we heard him say and that we saw him do and that we experienced with him." He said, "We're sharing these things with you so that you can enter into this fellowship with us around these things."
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he said, verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us." When he said fellowship with us, he's talking about fellowship with God with us. Fellowship with, and notice he said fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he said, you can enter into what we have with God and with Jesus, even still today, over these truths we heard him share. You can enter into that same fellowship around those same truths and experience him the same way we did when he was here in the flesh. You know, he's just as real and alive today as he was when he walked this earth. Just as real, just as alive, just as full of truth and just as full of revelation and impartation and anointing and power and wisdom and encouragement and everything that he was. He's just the same today. You can't touch him. You know, you can't feel him, but he's just right there. Actually came right on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit came in to do the same thing that he did when he walked the earth in each one of our lives. And the reason it's expedient is because he could only be in one place at one time when he walked the earth. But now he can be in you when you're at work. He can be in me when I'm traveling. He can be in you when you're at the grocery store or when you're asking him for wisdom for raising your children. And he can be everywhere all at the same time. Wonderful, wonderful. And the wonderful thing about it all is that through these truths, Jesus in us and God in us, notice he said our fellowship is both with God and with Jesus. And we'll look at a verse in a moment. It says with the Holy Spirit also. But these truths that he has for us, we can enjoy them by feeding on them and meditating on them and have fellowship with him over them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say fellowship.
Fellowship.
Say it again, fellowship.
Fellowship.
Fellowship with God is what I want to talk to you about tonight. It's the secret of really successful people.
Amen.
I'm talking about successful people spiritually,
yes,
who succeed and prosper through God. I'm not just talking about finances. I mean to just succeed at life and succeed at fulfilling the plan of God and succeed at carrying out the plan he has for them in this life. And of course, that includes all having all his blessings. But truly successful people, they have a secret. We're going to look at it. The Bible actually calls it a secret. And the reason it's a secret is not because it's held from anybody, but you just have to go to a certain place to get it. And we'll look at all that. But truly successful people, they have learned the secret of not just being related to God through the new birth, being his child. You know, if you're his child, you're related to God. You're born of God. You're related to him. You came out from him. You're born of his spirit. So any born-again child of God is related to God. It's a little like two people being married, a husband and wife getting married. They are now, according to the courthouse and the documents down at the courthouse and everything, they are legally related and united in a legal it's not just before man, it's before God also, but I'm talking about the legal side and before man. They have a covenant. They're legally united. They're related to one another legally in the eyes of God too, of course. But that doesn't mean they get along or that they talk or have any time, you know, they can fuss and fight and bicker and disagree and throw things at one another and until they get divorced, you know. But that's not what marriage is all about, just being legally connected, you know. In other words, there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. And God's plan for us when he brought us, united us to him and brought us to himself was not just for to be legally connected or, you know, have access to him. It's fellowship. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's fellowship. I personally believe the crowning benefit of righteousness is fellowship.
Yes, sir.
And fellowship is not something that happens just because you got born again. It's something that we have to understand better. And I think if we understood it better and how to enter into it, and the fact that it's not just of the flesh or of the mind, although the mind is involved and your body should be quiet in order to do it properly and get the full benefit out of it. But yet, right on the other hand, it's really something that is heart to heart. It's a heart-to-heart communion.
Amen.
It's a sharing back and forth, heart-to-heart, with God and us. It's not just head knowledge, you know, getting your mind filled with knowledge of God. You know, the Pharisees had heads full of knowledge of God. But Jesus showed up in the flesh, and they didn't recognize him. They crucified him. And some people today, heads are full of knowledge of the Bible, data and trivia out of the Bible and so forth. But they wouldn't know God if he walked into their living room and said, "Hello, I'm God." They wouldn't recognize him. Brother Hagin said some people wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if he came walking down the street in a red hat, said Holy Ghost written on it. Seriously. We need to get to know God. Our Father,
yes, sir.
And know Jesus. And you can do that. Physically, you can't feel him, but your heart can fellowship with him. You can experience him in your heart because he's real. He's alive, and he is a spiritual. He's in the spirit realm. He's spiritual, but yet right on the other hand, you are too. You're a spiritual being. And you're brought back into relationship and fellowship through the blood of Jesus. And you have access to him. And you can actually connect with him in the spirit realm. And somebody said, "Well, what's the benefit of that?" Well, Jesus said, "Without this, you can't do anything. Without me, you remember, abide in the vine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you." Before that, he said, "Without me, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing." And you might think you're getting something done. But if you're not fellowshipping with him, he's saying you're not getting anything done compared to what you could be getting done. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So if you get upset, you know who to talk to. But notice here, this fellowship is mentioned here in this verse, and fellowship is something that I have discovered through my, 30-some years of ministry. I don't even lost track now. But it's just a lot of people don't really do much. I'm not saying that to put people down. I'm simply saying I want to whet your appetite tonight. Whet your appetite to where it becomes more of a priority and becomes more important, you know. Hallelujah. There's just so many things. In fact, I'll just tell you just about everything you need help on. If you'll practice this, everything you need will come out of this. There's a verse, and I'll just mention it right now. Exodus 19:4. You can write it down. We won't turn there. I'll just quote it. Exodus 19:4. God said this to the Old Testament people. He said, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians." Remember, he destroyed the Egyptians to get them, because the Egyptians, God didn't want to destroy the Egyptians, but they kept resisting his plan. You know, it starts getting tough when you start resisting God. So, Pharaoh and Egypt started resisting God's plan. And so God dealt with them, and they kept hardening their hearts, so it got pretty rough. And God said in this verse, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings." In other words, I brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you over into Canaan's land. But notice, "I bear you on eagle's wings." And then he said this, "and brought you unto myself." When I read that verse, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago, I said, wait a minute, I missed something. I thought he brought him out to Canaan's land. And the Bible mentions that in other places. No. He brought him out of Canaan's land to experience his presence and to experience himself. When he brought him out, he brought him to Mount Sinai. And we know when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, the glory came down, and Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And we think, wasn't that wonderful how God visited Moses? But you read the story, that was not God's original plan. God's original plan was to bring them all out and talk to the whole nation. And he said, "I want to make of you a kingdom of priests." That's what his plan was. Y'all following me tonight? What is a priest, or who is a priest? He's someone that gets to go into the presence of God on behalf of others. God wanted that whole nation to get into his presence. You remember what Israel said? "We're afraid of God." And they said to Moses, "Moses, you go talk to him. We're afraid. I mean, we might die if we get too close." And they drew back, and it's because they were afraid rather than revered. They were afraid like a rat. They were of a rattlesnake rather than be reverent and experience him. There's two kinds of fear, you understand. And so God said, "All right, well, that's not what my original plan was. I wanted to make this whole nation a kingdom of priests." But he said, "I'll talk to Moses, and Moses, you can talk to him." And that cloud came down, and Moses went up into it. But God's plan was for that whole nation to experience him. He brought them unto himself. Guess what? If you need healing, go to the healer. And everything he is, you can experience. You might think, "I need healing." But in his presence, you might find out, no, here's the answer. The answer is over here. The answer is maybe walking in love or something else. I can't tell you what it is for you. But I can tell you where you can tell. I can tell you who can tell you. Amen. And I can tell you how to get there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I love a story Patsy Caminetti told. We were there helping in the prayer and healing center. She was over the prayer and healing center for most of that time. I think most the whole time we were there. But anyway, there was a lady came to her one time. She had been coming to healing school for a while. And she was getting worse, and actually kind of came to Patsy in a bit of a desperation. And she said, I've been getting worse. My body's not, it's sort of going downwards. And can you help me?" And Patsy said, "No, I can't help you. But I can take you to the one who can."
How many of you know we can't help people? We can't heal people. Brother Hagin said all the time, he said, I'm not the healer. He said, in fact, I can't heal a fly's eyeball. And what his point was, the fly's eyeball is real, real small. In other words, I can't even do something little. That's what he was saying. Amen. You can't produce what you need. If you could, you'd have done it. And many times we get to the place, we're like, I can't. But there's a place. There's someone who can. And there's a place in him that you can go to and lay hold of that. Amen. And so she said, Patsy said to this lady, I can't help you, but I can take you. I know how to get you to the one who can. Come with me. And she took her into a prayer time. And Patsy went to the throne of grace and let this lady tag along as she went to the throne of grace and got this lady in the presence of God, into the manifest presence of God. And this lady, I don't know the whole story of what all happened. She talked something over with God or something. And she came out of that place healed of her disease. Hallelujah. Completely set free. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Glory, glory. There is someone who can do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know in my life, I've been through different phases of, you know, there's times you focus on certain things, and sometimes you lose, we don't have to, but sometimes we lose track of certain truths. And the Spirit of God will bring us around to those things. And many times, whenever we come to the place where, well, Lord, what was working is not working. Rather than just mentally go to the Bible and start turning pages and sort of, help me, Lord, help me get mental, go to him. Get into the place where your heart is fellowshipping and communing with him, and you'll find before too long, all of a sudden, your answer will just go, boom, and come right into your spirit. And you'll go, oh, my goodness, I let that get by me. I used to have a hold of that, and here I am. Realizing I haven't done this for a long time. Amen. And all of a sudden things start working again. And what was happening was, in my life, probably you've done this too, is that in an area of the Word, I had lost my connection to it. Probably, I've said this here at church before, probably we have all heard our answer already. Maybe even right here at church. Especially if you've been around for 17 years or however long, 20 years. We're getting ready to celebrate 20 years. You've probably, if you've been around much, you've probably already heard your answer. And so, but we haven't made proper connection to it. And so, how do you find what am I not connecting to in his presence? We're going to get to that. Anyway, I'm taking way too long. All right, go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. That was in 1 John. We have fellowship. Before you turn from 1 John, notice he said in verse 4, these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. Whoa, 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 whoa. You running low on joy? It's a fellowship issue. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We could get into that part of the joy much more. We'll leave that for another time. 2 Corinthians, did I say Chronicles? I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 14. 2 Chronicles 13, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians. I don't know how I got Chronicles on my mind. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Say that, communion of the Holy Ghost. The word communion is the same Greek word translated fellowship. So
He's saying fellowship. Communion, fellowship, whatever. So the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. So now we see we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Jesus. We have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. We have fellowship with the Godhead. All right. Now, the Bible says, and you can just write this verse down. I won't have you turn to it. It's 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says we're called to fellowship with the Lord. People talk about call to the ministry, and there is such a thing, of course. But we're all called to fellowship.
Yes, sir.
What does the word call mean? If you look up the word call, it literally means to summons. In the spirit realm, if you listen, there's a summons.
Yeah.
Come fellowship with me.
Yeah.
Remember Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock? If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and I'll do what? He said, I'll sup with them. And he with me. Sup means sit down and we'll share a meal together. And you never share a meal just eating. You always fellowship. You're always talking. Now, right? That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about I'm hungry. Come in. I want to come in. No, he's talking about I want to fellowship with you. Hallelujah. How many of you know when we have fellowship, church fellowships, we always pull out the cookbooks and the. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So he's saying he wants to fellowship. There's a summons. He's wanting to be invited into this place of fellowship. And he's always summoning us to come to the place of fellowship.
Yeah.
Now we'll get to that come part. That means we got to exit something else to come into this. But we'll get to that. All right. Psalm 91 tells us, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he lists for the next however many verses, what is it, 17, 18 verses or 20 verses there? He lists all the benefits of people that fellowship with him. People want to claim those things without doing verse 1.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. Confession is right, and he mentions confession in that psalm. But this confession is to be in his presence. It's to be a worship thing. You're my provider. You're my healer, and I worship you for it. All right? So we don't have time to get to that either. The whole thing is much longer than we have time to tonight. But fellowship is the crowning benefit of salvation. But there are Bible instructions how to get into this. Amen. When we follow these instructions, our spirits enter into a fellowship with God, and that fellowship enables us to partake of all that He is to us. Fellowship is not just something that we do where we, where we just know that something is there. We partake of it. Fellowship, when you truly fellowship, it starts being infused into your being. It starts radiating into your being. Whatever you fellowship with, you start partaking of.
Yes. Yeah.
Write that down. Don't ever forget that. What you fellowship with, you start partaking of.
Yeah.
Your spirit starts absorbing it. It starts coming into your being and starts becoming a part of you. It's no longer God out here is this or has this. All that starts coming into you. And it becomes you. He is the healer. He is all these things. The comforter. But you need to not just know He is. You need to experience it. And it needs to become a vital experience. And fellowship is how you partake of that and you start absorbing it into your being. Like comfort, for example. Or encouragement, for example. Or strength or something like that. Those things start coming into your spirit and then they start radiating out into your being and you settle down. I've seen people do it. I've taken them into His presence before and I've seen them just go, I've done it going to church before where I came into church real frantic about something. And you get into His presence, you're like, whoo. If you're not careful, you'll go to sleep. Because it becomes so much a part of not just God around me. It comes into me. And my whole being starts partaking of it. Say partaking. Aren't you interested in more than, if I invited you to dinner, and I've got a big spread in front of you, and you reach out to partake, and I say, no, no, you just have to look at it. That's not enough for you, is it? It's not just to look at and know it's there and be close to it. You start wanting that, get in my belly, get in my belly. That's the way God is. You don't want to just be close to Him or see Him there or in all His man of, you are the healer, you are all these things. You want to start absorbing that into you. Amen. And that's what God has for us. And that happens through fellowship. Happens through fellowship. Amen. And so God's provided a means whereby our spirits can have this fellowship with Him, with the Spirit of God, and so forth. And let's go over to a couple of verses that talk about it. Let's go to Psalm 25. Getting anything out of this so far? Psalm 25. My, my, my. Time is a flying tonight. What is happening to that clock? Look at the 25th chapter of Psalm, verse number 14. Psalm 25, 14, and I'm just going to read the Amplified. Because it's just for time's sake, I want to get right to that. It says, Psalm 25, 14, the secret, there's what I was talking about a moment ago. Remember I said there's a secret, really successful people and the things that God have. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and what?
Worship
Him. And what will He do? He will show them His covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Oh, my goodness. The secret. Let's read that again. Anybody? Yeah, that's a lot to absorb in one reading. He said, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord. Let's stop right there. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord. What's He mean, companionship? That means that He'll be a close source of fellowship. That's talking about intimacy, companionship. Somebody that's a companion is a closer, you're closer to them than you are somebody down at work or that you see. Even though you see them every day at work, you're not really a companion and you don't really, you don't call them a friend or somebody that you really share a lot with. You know, you just go over things at work. It's a different thing. And so here He's talking about a close fellowship when He says companionship. You understand that? Can you see that? So He said, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship. Now, look at that word satisfying. There's a whole lot of people that are, can't get no satisfaction. I grew up in the 80s. I don't know when that song came out, but. And that's the characteristic of the wicked. The Bible says so. It says the eyes of the wicked are never satisfied. Amen. You guys, your eyes want to look on nakedness of other of women or somebody or pictures. Those eyes will never be satisfied. You got to realize that. It's a hook in you that will hold you for the rest of your life. The world can't get satisfaction in the flesh. Many times, many people who they're reaching for something, some sort of satisfaction that they can't get. They're looking for it. You know what I'm talking about? And they can't find it. But this verse tells us where true satisfaction really comes from. Amen. Are you still out there? Really, the thing that they can't get satisfied is deeper than their flesh or their mind. It's really their spirit that is hungering for something that they can't get, and so they keep looking in the flesh to find it, and it's just like an enigma, and it just keeps escaping them. It's like the light, the laser light that I have the cat chase at the house. There's no tangibility to it. She can't get it. She's been chasing it for years. After a while, you'd think you'd sink in. I can't get that. I'm just going to lay here and watch it. Can't get it. That's what the world, they're trying to get it. And they can't get this. They just can't get satisfied. The Bible says it's because it's the need that is a God-formed need on the inside of them that only God can satisfy. And it's deeper than the flesh and the mind. It's all the way down into their spirits. Hallelujah. And their spirits are reaching out in the spirit realm for contentment. You understand? Their flesh, in the fleshly realm, will never find it. Amen. Only the Spirit of God can satisfy that longing, that craving on the inside of a man's spirit. And it's only satisfied through the new birth and continual fellowship with Him. I have been there where I got antsy and agitated and wanted to get into something that was taking too long. And I get myself worked up and anxious about it. And I'm like, and the more I go that direction, the further I get from it. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me sanctimonious, you know. And before I know it, I'm just not fun to be around. I'm not a pleasant person anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm reaching in the flesh for something that only the presence of God satisfies. Well, I know it's true about all of us. You're saying amen because you know what I'm talking about. It's a longing of the spirit, man. Amen. Since man was created by God to fellowship with Him. His spirit, you and my spirit, was designed to feast on His presence and fellowship with Him regularly. And without that, there's something missing. We're just not hitting on all cylinders. We just don't have the strength. We just don't have the wisdom we need. We just don't have the satisfaction. We're irritated. Tell your neighbor, I know he's talking about you. Hallelujah. Remember Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. It's the presence of God where a man gets what he's looking for. People are looking for happiness. Happiness is a cheap substitute for real spirit joy. Hallelujah. All right, but anyway, back here he said the secret, back on Psalm 25, verse number 14, the secret of the sweet satisfying. Say that word, satisfying. Boy, is it ever satisfying. I'm telling you, whenever you learn to fellowship with God, you'll find that His presence is really home. That's home. You might be about other things sometimes, and you got other things to do. I'm talking about in the natural jobs and so forth and so on. But when you get in His presence, it's like, this is home. This is home. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship Him. Now notice that. Notice the connection here that he makes between worshiping God and fellowshipping with Him. Do you see that? How many of you see that? Amen. Sometimes people say, I don't know how to fellowship with God. Start worshiping Him. Worship is the doorway into fellowship. You and I, when we start worshiping Him, and I don't mean just praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. I mean, Father, thank you for getting me out of that problem I was in last week. I thank you, Father. I lift my hands and just want to tell you out of my heart, I really am grateful. I really appreciate that. Thank you for doing that for me. And start reminding yourself of everything He's done for you. Well, I can't think of anything. Well, then just read your Bible and start thanking Him for what you read in there. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Father, thank you for making me a new creation. And thank you for the blood of Jesus that gives me access to come boldly into the throne of grace. And start thanking Him for His word. And be grateful for it. Amen. All right. We could go a long ways in that, but let's go back to another passage in Psalm 100. If you can just turn over a few pages. We're in Psalms, but Psalm 100. Are we getting some help tonight? We've got to get past just coming to God for our healing and coming to God for our answer. And I got this need, Father, I got this need. And stop just looking at the needs and the things we need, but look at the one who is that. Rather than go for his healing, go to the healer. What would you think if the only time I wanted to talk to you was when I had a need? Very shallow. Very self-centered. And that does not create any fellowship. Fellowship is a two-way street. Fellowship means I share. It's a heart-to-heart thing. Fellowship, if you and I have fellowship, we sit down and we share heart-to-heart. It's not just data about the kids and the weather and stuff like that. You know, you got people in your life that's about as far as you can go. You start talking about spiritual things, and all of a sudden they're like, "But you lost me. I don't know what you're talking about." You know, you can't fellowship with people that don't agree. Remember, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So you fellowship over things that you have in common. In the natural, people have things in common, but that's not really fellowship. Fellowship actually deals with heart issues. But anyway, if you and I sit down to have fellowship, I'll share out of my heart, and then you'll share out of your heart. We both receive what each other's sharing and share in reciprocal back and forth. It's a mutual thing. It's a really prayer ought to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And fellowshipping with God is part of our prayer life. And so prayer is not just talking to God and just jabber. It's listening to what he's saying on the inside. And it doesn't mean it's words. It doesn't mean it's something that, you know, you hear audible or something like that. It's just you know on the inside what he's saying to you. Amen. And anyone who's born again can do that. The baptism of the Holy Ghost will help, but anybody's born again, you can do that because you're alive to God. Hallelujah. And you have a royal invitation to come. The throne room door is open, you know. Okay, Psalm 100. Notice what it says here. We'll just read verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Notice that. Enter his gates. Notice the word enter. Say the word enter. Enter means coming away from some other place into where he is. I mean, if you were outside, you drove your car here tonight, in order to experience what's happening in here, you had to enter the building, enter the auditorium. Isn't that right? It's very difficult to experience what's in here, even on live stream, to experience what's happening in here, not being, you know, here. You know, from a distance, you get some maybe through live stream, but it's not like being here. In fact, there's been times I've been tempted to cancel live stream, but God says keep it. So, you know, amen. Because it should never be a substitute for going to church. It's about coming together with other believers and being in the very room where God's doing what he's doing, you know. You're not distracted as much either. Watching live stream, you know as well. Don't tell me that it's not easy to be distracted. There's something about coming away out of everything else and coming to a place where you're totally focused on God at the time. Now, you realize this is not his sanctuary in the sense of a building is where he dwells. But this is dedicated for spiritual things and his presence and what he's doing. And so it's a form of entering his presence. He fills this place whenever we come to Him through His Word, come to Him praising and worshiping Him. And we can do this corporately as well. We can do it individually. But the point is, you don't have to be here to do this. You don't have to be here to do Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now, notice again that word enter. It means coming into His presence, leaving someplace else. He's talking about a drawing near to God in communion and fellowship with Him. Coming to Him for the purpose of hearing from Him, worshiping Him. Because remember, this is a two-way street. And He said here, the way you do this is through worship, praise and worship. Gates, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So it's for the purpose of communing with Him, worshiping Him. But how many of you know when you start doing that, what you need starts happening, starts manifesting. And we'll look at that in Hebrews in a few minutes. But when we come in to commune with Him, we begin to receive with Him from Him. When we begin to worship Him, I've had it happen so many times, you can't tell me it's not true. You just start worshiping Him, and all of a sudden, in reciprocal, you start receiving your answer.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you haven't started receiving your answer yet, don't quit.
Right.
Do it long enough to where the anointing starts manifesting. Well, I haven't got to that point. Well, then don't quit so quick. Well, I got things to do. Cancel them. What? Well, how long you want to go? How long you want to go being without? Yeah. It's important. This is the one who knows all. We're talking about the one who can do it all, can like that change everything. Give Him enough respect and regard and honor by properly acknowledging Him and worshiping Him, and go through proper protocol, which is this is protocol right here, in order to experience God, in order to commune with Him and take in from Him the wisdom you need, the direction, whether it's healing or whatever you need. He is what He is, everything we need. Isn't that what we learn? He's everything we need. He's not just Savior. He's everything. He's comforter, provider. He's our strength. He's our guide. He's the glory and the lifter of our head. He's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's peace that passes all understanding. He is the encouragement when you're discouraged. He's everything. Everything you need is in His presence. Counsel, direction, wisdom. Everything. What do I do about these snot-nosed kids? Well, there's answers for those snot-nosed kids. How do I get out of this bad relationship? There's answers for how to get out of that bad relationship. But you got to go to where those answers are. Well, I'm just going to ask everybody else. Stop trying to bum a blessing off everybody else's fellowship. You have just as much right and just as much authority to come boldly to the throne of grace as all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can help one another. We understand that. And we want to help each other. But just to be a spiritual mooch is not God's plan for your life. So we come near to hear from Him, commune with Him, receive from Him what everything we need. And really, it's all talking about entering in. When He says enter in, He's talking about coming into His presence to fellowship. That's what it's talking about. When you enter into the throne room of a king, you're coming in order to talk something over with Him. You know, old days, you had to be invited in. You had to go through certain protocol. That's what He's talking about here. He's talking about drawing near. Remember, the Bible said, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you.
Amen.
Now, oh my goodness, let's just say this right now, because there's more to this than we're going to be able to get into right now. But part of this drawing near is turning your attention away from natural things. What does that mean, draw near to God? What does that mean? A big part of that is turning your attention away from natural things. You can keep your attention and your mind on natural things, circumstances, what you're going through, what the devil's saying, all those things. You can keep your mind and attention on all that, but you'll have to do it at the expense of fellowshipping with God.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's good.
Fellowshipping with the one who's got all the answers for all those things.
Come on. Come on. Yep. Amen.
Don't let yourself just sit and think about everything natural. Don't gain mental proficiency. Gain spiritual proficiency. Where you don't let your mind just sink. What am I going to do about that? And you're just going into it head first. Break that habit. Because going to God is not mental. It's something you do from your heart. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. And so the key to true fellowship and drawing near to God is to turn your attention away from everything else and put it on God. What's your attention on? Whatever your attention is on, that's what you begin to fellowship with. And what you fellowship with, like we said a while ago, is what you start partaking of. Your mind is involved in this. In fact, you remember my son, remember Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Then he said, keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice he said, start out with where your attention is, and it'll bring you to your heart.
Right.
Yep. Put your attention on the things of God, and it'll bring the things of God into your heart.
Amen.
Guard your heart with all diligence. And the way you do that's with the gates of the heart, the doorways into it, and the doorway is the mind. If you want to fellowship with God, put your attention on His things and start speaking with your mouth, your praises to Him for them. Your mouth can direct your attention. If you don't want to think on something, speak what you do want to be thinking on. If you want your mind to be on the Word, speak the Word. If you want your mind to be on the benefits of heaven and the benefits of your spouse's salvation, talk about them all the time and praise Him for them all the time. It'll get your attention and pull it over onto it. If the doctor's report keeps trying to, grab your attention and hold you in the mental realm, start speaking the Word of God and praising Him for what He said and enter His presence with your mouth and your attention.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you'll enter and all that will start fading away and the realities of who He is and what He is will start, being absorbed into your being. And you'll go out of there just full of peace regardless of what the doctor said, regardless of what the lawyer said. Oh my, I'm preaching myself happy. Hallelujah. What your attention's on, you begin to fellowship with, and what you fellowship with, you begin to partake of. You can sit and think about natural things, but you'll do it at the expense of fellowshipping with God. Learn to fellowship with your answer. Stop giving the problem all your attention. Give the answer your attention. Your attention on something connects you to it. Life or death. That's the truth. I start thinking about worried thoughts and I get connected to worry and the death that's attached to it. I start taking in fearful thoughts or thoughts of unforgiveness or something like that. And before I know it, I start fellowshipping with that and that thing starts getting a hold of me. It all started with what my attention was on. I started fellowshipping with it through my thought life. Let's stop it. What do you say? The devil starts telling you, you see the way they treated you? You said, I'm not putting my attention on that. I'm putting you remember the Bible said Jesus on the cross, the serpent on the pole that Moses put up was the type of Jesus on the cross. Remember what they had to do? They had to look at that serpent on the pole attentively, the Amplified says, with an absorbing gaze. And that's what you and I've got to do whenever something's trying to bite our life. There's things that try to bite relationships sometimes, and you have to look on the cross. Perfect love. I was a sinner. I was guilty. I was the one that sinned against God, and here He is paying my price. That's perfect love. Keep my eyes on that rather than keep my eyes on what they did to me. I keep my eyes on perfect love. And as He is, so am I in this world. Perfect love is in me. That love is in me. And I'm going to live in that love and act just like I saw Him acting on the cross, because that's what I'm looking at. When I was yet a sinner, He died for the ungodly. And I look at perfect love, and that's what I'm looking at, not offense and these thoughts of yakety yak yak. You should take that thought, and I'm going to fellowship with Him, not fellowship with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's important to help turn your attention on Him, express your praise and your gratitude and your worship to Him out loud with your mouth. Your mouth can direct your attention. If you don't believe it, start silently in your mind your mind. I mean, your attention is part of your mind. Start in your mind counting 1, 2, 3, but then out loud saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and see how far you go on your 1, 2, 3s.
Right.
As soon as you start saying A, B, C, all of a sudden you stop counting in your mind. You can do that with spiritual things. When the devil's yakety yak yak, you can put him on hold, say, excuse me, mute. Thank you, Father. You took my infirmities and you bore my sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Now, remember it says, and I'm just going to read these two, just refer to these. You can write them down. Hebrews 4:16. It says, we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, right? What does come boldly mean? There's another verse in Hebrews 10:19 that says something similar, and I'll refer to it here in 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Notice those two terms, come boldly and boldness to enter in. So there is Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So there's an entrance, a going into his presence, right? Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 10 say the same thing. Come boldly. Come, say come. If we're going to learn to go to where he is, it requires learning to travel from the realm of the mind and the flesh to the realm of your heart. That's huge. Multitudes of Christians have never learned to travel from their mind and go to where their heart is communing with God. It is the biggest key to fellowshipping with God. It's the big reason most Christians don't. Some people don't want to because they're scared what he's going to say. There's people looking at me right here tonight. I could point you out. I'm in the spirit enough to know what's going on in some of people's lives. And they're saying, lay down the fear. Your way's hard. The way of the transgressor's hard. Draw near. When he starts dealing with things, say, truth, Lord. And lay it aside and repent. And say, I'm going all the way into your presence. Amen. So we've got to learn to, in order to enter this place of fellowship, there must be an exit from the place of the mind and the attention on other things. The mind dominating us. In other words, our thoughts need to go from the natural to God. And not only our thoughts, we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our mouths. Something has to be on our mind and on our thoughts. I mean, excuse me, our mind and in our mouths. In order to enter, we've got to exit this mind realm and the flesh realm. Amen. So in order to do that in fellowship, we've got to exit the place of the mind dominating us. Our thoughts must turn from the natural to the things of God. We must exit the realm of our thoughts and enter the realm of his word and his thoughts to express our gratitude to him for them. Did you get that? Exit our thoughts and enter the realm of his word and his thoughts and speaking our thanksgiving to him for them.
Yes.
Somebody said, I have nothing to thank God for. The whole Bible is something to thank God for.
Yes.
When he said all that he said in there, he said, I washed you and cleansed you in my blood. Thank you, Jesus. I exit my own thoughts. I feel so guilty, but I exit my thoughts and I express my gratitude to you for what you said. And you start doing that. You start practicing that. You're going to start experiencing the manifest presence of God. You're going to start fellowshipping with the one who wrote those words. And you're going to start, it's going to start coming into you and you absorb it into your being. And you're going to start experiencing it. You're going to walk out of places like that. If you practice that enough and you practice that sufficiently, you're going to walk out of places like that totally with a victory that you didn't have when you walked in. Hallelujah. To enter this place of fellowship, you got to exit some things. Are you getting it? Break the habit of just sitting and thinking your own natural thoughts about what am I going to do about this or that or that. Enter. Enter. Exit that. Enter his gates. Enter. Come boldly. Come, come, come. In other words, from where you are, come out of that into where I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. So break the habit of just sitting. If you wake up at night, don't just, you know, because sometimes you wake up, if you're like me, sometimes you wake up at night and you start thinking about something you got to make a decision about.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you're just thinking it all through in your mind.
Yeah.
Exit that.
Yes.
Instantly. Practice that. Develop the habit of exiting that. The moment you catch yourself doing it, say, wait a minute. No, Father, I thank you, Father. I have an unction and I know all things. I look down on the inside. I now come into your presence and commune with you over this. I thank you, Father. I'm led by the Spirit of God. And you start just drawing up out of your spirit. You went out of the head and start drawing up out of your spirit. This will save you a lot of heartache. It'll save you a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, because a lot of people are sick because their minds are always on the wrong thing. I said that by the inspiration of the Spirit. So break the habit of just sitting thinking about natural things. Amen. Your own thoughts, in other words. Don't let yourself gain that kind of mental skill. Develop proficiency at fellowshipping with God out of your heart. And praise and worship is a big part of it. Praise takes you out of your natural mind and into your heart. Amen? Learn to go from where you are to where He is. Amen. It requires a traveling. You got to learn to do some traveling in the spirit realm. Amen. In order to do that, put your attention on Him and your mouth. Start praising Him for what He said. Hallelujah. This verse says, as a result of that, you'll enter into the place of His presence where you'll start to have communion with Him and fellowship, and your spirit starts taking in the very thing you need from God in that area. Hallelujah. It's all done through faith. You worship Him through faith. Your mind says, what good is this doing? You say, shut up. Father, I love you. Father, I worship you. I draw near to you right now. It's a faith thing. You're standing in a room, you can't see Him, and you don't feel Him, but you're doing it by faith. Worshiping Him is a faith expression. You don't see Him, but you're worshiping Him. And that's what the Bible means when it says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's a big part of it. All right? Our spirits were designed to, in the new birth, were designed to be in fellowship with God. They are in fellowship with God. And we're to develop the habit of doing that and communing with God. Amen? Learn to live in such a way that anything that breaks this, anything that hinders this kind of fellowship is an offense to you. Because it's robbing you of really what you need to succeed in life. Amen. There's things I will not fellowship with because it breaks my fellowship with God. It's not that you understand what I'm talking about. Well, yeah, you do. Hallelujah. So anything that breaks it, anything that hinders it, anything that diminishes it, this fellowship I'm talking about, anything that cools it off or makes you less, it gives you less of an appetite for it, get to the place in life where that's an offense to you. I will not live in anything that's displeasing to my Savior and that keeps me from fellowshipping with Him. Because He won't fellowship with darkness. Did you know that? Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight? Wow. Well, praise the Lord. Are you still there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's given us a means whereby our spirits can have fellowship with Him. Let's take advantage of it. What do you say? What is it? Praise and worship. Praise and worship. And listen, you can get into this far enough to where you start speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And boy, that takes it to a whole nother level. because that's by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's a manifestation of the Spirit, and the greater that greater anointing is, the greater that manifestation is, the more anointing means more help, because the Holy Spirit is the helper. I have spoken my answer right out of my own mouth many times. Hallelujah. There's a secret. Do you have the secret? Those that worship Him have a secret. What is it? Fellowship. It's His sharing. That's where we get the answers that He shares with us. People don't know about this place. The world doesn't know about this place. And to them, it's a mystery. But to us, we could explain it to them, but it's still a mystery to them. Where is that? It's in the Spirit. They can't figure that out. Hallelujah. 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 I have a secret place that I go to. The Lord said to me one time, remember in Psalm 91, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the... The Lord said that there's other things that are... truths about this verse also, but the Lord said to me one time, this is one side of it, He said, the reason it's called a secret place is, He said, it's because it's where I share my secrets. Somebody say, how did you do that? It's a secret. Why are you still alive? Didn't they diagnose you with cancer? It's a secret. I could share it with you, but you wouldn't get it. I'm talking about the world. Maybe not believers like you and me, but I'm talking about with people that just don't have any idea about the secret place. A place where you can go and get the answers. And not band-aid on a cancer kind of answers. Get to the root of it and dig it all the way out, and it never shows up again, and you live until 104, you know. That kind of answer. Woo-hoo-hoo! Sign me up. I'm in on that. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. To a lot of Christian people, life is very hard. It's because they're trying to do it without entering into communion with Him. They're trying to do it out of their heads. But their spirits are what takes in of what God's telling for them to do in each situation. Through praise and worship with God, they get that revelation. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. But they're all in their heads rather than their hearts. And to them, it's a principle rather than a person. To them, it's religion rather than relationship. You know what I'm talking about? And it's just a dead thing. They go through all the motions of faith. They pull the same levers and push the same buttons as everybody else seems to be pulling and pushing, you know, believing and saying, you know, and all these things. And they're going through all the motions, and nothing's happening. It's because of a bad connection. You know what I mean by that? Remember Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. What He's talking about is maintain a living union, the Amplified says, with the one who from who all these things flow from. And through that living union, everything He is flows into you. And it's easy to produce all these things. The fruit grows on the branch. It grows on you and me. But not because we in ourselves can do anything. It's because we're drawing from the source of the life and the force and the energy and the direction and the wisdom and the power and all that He is in order to produce all these things. And we're not straining to do it. We're just maintaining our union. Like I've said, I grew up in the orchards, close to the orchards back in Pennsylvania where they grew a lot of apples. And I never saw an apple tree back there going, trying to produce apples. It just stayed connected. The branch stayed connected to the trunk of the tree and very easily just produced apples. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is why people they think the Christian life is hard, because they're trying to do it by their own efforts. It's not hard, just a bad connection. That's why they're going through all the motions of faith and motions of everything, but not producing anything. Amen. There's a deadness that enters into everything they're doing, and everything they do seems to fall flat on its face. Everybody else is thriving and enjoying the blessings of God, and they can't figure that out. Well, hallelujah. I didn't get done, but we're going to stop right there. Hallelujah. This is a secret. Tell your neighbor, we learned some secrets tonight. Amen. The Christian life is not just learning to live by different principles. There are principles to the Christian life. You realize that? The Christian life is fellowship. It's being connected to Him. Jesus said, this is life. I think it's John 17:4, I believe. I hope I'm right on the 4. But this is life eternal, that they may know Him, God, and the Son. Hallelujah. You and I can really know Him, not just know about Him. How many of you know about George Washington? You know a lot of data and facts and things about George Washington, but you don't know George Washington. You never sit across the dinner table and listen to what he thinks and, you know, hear him talk about his heart, what's in his heart. Isn't that right? People know God through other people. I didn't plan on saying that either. But that's Old Testament stuff. I said, that's Old Testament stuff. They knew God through Moses. They knew God through the priest and the high priest. There's always somebody between them and God. Now, there's Jesus between us and God. And He says, come boldly and come into the throne of grace. And know your Father. Know His righteousness. Know forgiveness. Don't just go through the principle of confessing my sin and I'm forgiven. No, know the forgiver. Know the one who is the forgiver. Don't just come for healing. People want to come and snatch a healing and leave. Come to the healer and worship the healer.